So I'm at Sacred Grove, and some volunteers here are pounding rubble into a free-formed foundation. And Anshul is talking to me. They read an article I wrote on Oroville AVNet, and it seemed to correspond to something that they were trying over here. So this is the first time I've heard a lot about Sacred Grove. I was part of Lavenir in the beginning when the project came up, and this is the first time I'm visiting it, and it's just a beehive of activity and all kinds of new people. So Anshul, tell me a little bit about what's happening right here.
So what's happening right here is we're building a house for Tahir. He's from Ethiopia, and he's just finished his process to become a newcomer, so he is going to be an Oroville in some time. At Sacred Groves, one of the reasons why Sacred Groves was started was to provide housing for new Orovillians, for long-term volunteers. But I think one of the things that has always challenged people to come to Oroville is housing.
Absolutely.
Because either it's the complication in the whole understanding of how this works, understanding how you get a land, understanding how you how your investment works, because
The cost.
The cost mostly, right?
Yeah, both of those.
And the simplest and the complexity, rather.
You guys are trying to answer that need by making it simpler.
By making it simple and by saying that you can actually start building a house if you have a piece of land from material that you see around you. You don't really have to invest so much in the material or the money to either for an architect or for an engineer.
Yep.
You can start building your house yourself and take help from families around you or friends.
So you work as a family, a sort of group of friends that help to create
this.
And then the main structure, which has the many, many units, is over there. And this project that I see here is slightly different from that.
Sure. So that was conceptualized last year, and it's still going on. We've been changing it every day. We're trying to, sort of work on it and refine it. But I think what is going to happen is taking ideas. This is more like
individual housing.
Yes, but also this will not... Each house will... Like, there's not going to be a house alone, isolated. We've found a space where we can create a circle of houses.
Okay.
And that's how it's going to develop. So something like this can also happen outside, but we have to find a space to build a circle. And then the first house comes up, and everybody else involved in the community then starts building their own houses.
Fantastic.
So, for example, a group of 5-6 friends, they decide they need housing, and they select a piece of land which is as big or small or larger, and they start building, from one house, and then they finish that.
So, in fact, then all Oroville would need to offer is the space.
That's
what
it.
About the utilities? What about power and water and hooking up to a larger system? How did you manage to do that? I mean, that's quite a large part of the investment, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So, one is that we're trying to simplify all of that, so that, again, you don't need... fancy calculations or, too many expert interventions. So we're trying to come up with a system which is fairly simple here for water and for electricity. So we'll see as we go along. We're still trying to do that for this house.
But where do you get your water from here? Hi, Manu.
We get our water from right now from the bore well that is there.
So you've dug a well here?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So that was some initial investment, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Did everybody pitch in for that, or did you get project money for that?
That's from the project money, because that's basically serving to all our construction needs and eventually for the houses also. That can also service to this circle, and I think within a week or so we'll have water here also. But again, if these circles are closer, then each circle doesn't need to have their own well.
Absolutely.
You can have one well for, say, 7 circles or 10 circles, depending on the needs, depending on the size of the circles also. What we really need to see is how people can come together in smaller circles rather than... Like we have right now in the larger houses, we have rows of 3 houses. And we thought that, friends could stay together. Maybe this is also a good idea of developing a circle, which is more... So this becomes like a common courtyard, bonfire place.
Mm-hmm.
So how we can make building really... a process where people are happy, not tensed because things are not moving, money is going down the drain.
And they're involved in all of the aspects.
And at the end of it, in most cases, they're not even happy after all of that is done. Right. So in this, we want that people realize that a house is going to be in process. Even after we finish this house, we are pretty sure that it's going to still need your attention and time. It's not like, okay, you moved in and then
it's done, it's over.
So for that, you need to understand the each and every aspect of the house very clearly. And that can happen only if you're involved in building of the house from the very beginning. So that's something that we really, really want to do. And if we can develop those models, then that can also go out into the...
But say you build a house now and you're really involved, the first occupant is really involved in its construction, and then that person might go and another person may come in. Mm-hmm. So they may not have the same relationship with the place. They may not have developed...
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
What happens then?
So one is that I think till now, the people who are involved in this process are people who are going to stay here. That's very clear. Yes, of course, there's a possibility that people move out, and the person who comes in, there's an option for them to select from one of those empty houses and see if something resonates with them. And again, because things are so simple and everything is out there, it's easy to change also.
So he'll immediately get integrated and figure out.
Yes, so the other community members, because they've also been involved in the process of making the house, they also understand the house somehow. So they can also help him reimagine that house or change things that are not working for him. So the idea is that, again, it's more like a community space that is offered to one person more than just individual house which nobody knows about and it's completely abandoned after this person leaves.
Tell me, where are you from? I'm from Orville Radio, and I see you here very diligently cracking bricks.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
We're from the Netherlands.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are here for our internship.
Yeah.
And we volunteer here like 2 or 3 times a week, and we just started last week, so it's very new for us as well. But we are not like architect or something. We are from International Lifestyle Studies.
Okay.
And we are here to do research on volunteer work and to do scenario planning on
our. So do you feel like a prisoner here breaking bricks? Or
it's something very different than I used to do.
Yeah. Most people that come to Orville get to do something different.
Yes,
that's
it is.
The nice thing about it.
Yes, you get to do a lot of different things and be a lot. And then when you see this, when you come back in a few years, you'll see it'll be different again.
Yes, it would be really, really cool to see in a few years to see the houses here and see what it's. What it became from all of this.
How long will you be in Orville?
For 4 months or something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, in about 4 months.
Well, thanks for helping to build Orville.
Yes.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tell me about yourself, sir. Hi.
Hi, I'm Akash. I am an architectural intern here.
Okay.
So,
you're hands-on.
It's hands-on. We're building house with Tahir, one of the volunteers here, and the fact that we haven't even used a ruler to build this house. We haven't taken any measurements.
I love it.
Yeah. And
piece of string and some...
Yeah, we've used string and the whole... we've used Tahir as our model. He has built this house. He has paced this house. He has designed this house. So... the fact that we can make mistakes and just design without using a ruler is like just too cool. So yeah,
it's important, isn't it, to give room for experimentation and failure. And
yeah, the fact that we're very brazen about it too is also damn cool, because like generally you don't get the opportunity to make mistakes or experiment.
Great.
Like there's a set way that you have to work in. You know, it's not there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
How long are you going to be here for, and how long have you been here for?
I've been here for a month. I have 5 more months to go for my internship, so yeah.
Great. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
This is Renu. Have you met?
Hello. Hi.
South Africa.
Hello.
Looking forward to maybe building here.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi. So a lot of people are living here now?
Well, there are volunteers living.
Okay.
And also some, well, newcomers, well, to be newcomers. And Mamata and Amelia and Greg and Aaron, four of them, have moved to Oroville recently.
Yeah. Cool.
and they are going to be newcomers also, and they're looking forward to building with their own hands, which is spectacular for us, because as a family together building their house is something which is new.
Yeah.
And we've also been waiting for newcomers to dedicate to the project, you know. So now it's slowly happening.
Has that been hard to find
it's
people?
It's been hard to actually get people to dedicate significant amounts of time.
Yeah.
And it's mostly been, this is Megan. Megan is almost going to be Aurovillian.
Hey, Megan.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Reno.
Hi, I'm Reno. Here from Oroville Radio, just checking what's going on in Sacred Groves.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we are actually thinking of starting a process here called Build Free.
That's great.
I don't know whether Anshul told you about
it. A little bit. Anshul mentioned it a little bit to me, and he said you were departing from slightly from your original project, and I was wondering what the reasons for that was. You were feeling like it was getting too fixed, or was it because of the clients, or I don't know.
Actually, the feeling I have is that we are converging more to the purpose of Sacred Groves is actually to create housing opportunity to all people. Now, the way we started, we had to create a certain product which was more like saleable to everybody, to the working group for approval and everything. So that product is there and it's being built. You know, it's happening along the way. But I feel that's not really the sole purpose of the project. The project has to get even deeper to see how one can get closer to the people, you know. So, and the only way to do that is to find and create opportunities for people to engage.
Exactly.
And there was that limitation that we were saying the work is heavy, using heavy machinery, and only young volunteers can break their backs the whole day with carrying concrete and doing heavy work.
So that whole product actually entails a whole different approach,
whole different
to construction.
Culture, which was not inviting to the community. You know, so I felt that we need a more simpler structure, which is down to earth, which is more fun and engaging children, even older people. You know, and we felt that most of the natural materials are inviting. Earth, straw, grass, bamboo, wood, they're all very inviting. But when it comes to concrete and cement and steel, it becomes a little too technical and heavy.
Yes.
And more specialized.
Specialized skill set.
And unfortunately, we needed to use it in order to gain authenticity for the project. You know? So that was one step, I feel. We are going to the next level. And somebody from Holland, from AVI Holland, said, this is Sacred Groves 2.0.
Interesting.
I said, yes, it is, because we are actually looking at a smaller scale, a smaller plot of land. We're looking at a smaller cluster, six houses, and with a common house, and we are looking at people coming together and designing and building together.
Yeah.
And eventually, probably living in it together. So the whole idea is that people grow their friendships over the process of building.
Yeah.
So your building of your houses, you know, houses of each other, is part of the building of their little sort of community. You know? So spontaneously, as we were thinking about this, we had people just walking in, new people, who were fresh into the newcomer process, who had fresh energy. And we felt that these people, you know, had a spark in their eyes, and they were not really looking for fixed solutions like what we were offering before. They were open to flexible approaches.
But how do they find out about you?
I think the grapevine. We did not do any advertising.
So people don't really know that this is an opportunity that people can jump in hands-on and build.
No, people don't know. And I felt that, you know, Oroville has a whole way of
filtering,
yeah. And if we put it out there, then you would get a big crowd, and then we wouldn't know what to do with them, you know. So, and we would really need to then, you know, break our heads on.
Then you would be managing people rather than working on.
We would rather work with a small group.
Yeah.
And develop the content of what we are doing.
Yeah.
And once it's at a reasonable stage of development,
yeah,
we could float it out there, you know, to keep it. You know, right now I've just spoken to a few people. And
this little cluster of housing over here, I see one house going up. How many houses do you think are going to go up here?
We are talking of 6 houses here.
Okay.
And
you have all those 6 people?
Not yet.
Okay.
We have about, I think, 4 people. Some are families. Actually, 3 families.
Hmm.
No, 2 families, 1 couple, and 1 single person.
Do you remember when we were at Lavenir and we were talking about the whole transit lounge thing? We had also done a whole survey on what people wanted. And people really did want kind of more individual family housing or clusters of housing. And then that project, we had a whole list of people, but we needed a crucial amount to help pay for the infrastructure.
Mm, yes.
Mm. And did you have that problem here, or did you...
Yes, we had that problem. And this part of the land was much worse than Courage, because there already there was power, you know, and so it was not very... And water also was right,
yeah,
next door.
And FAMC had agreed to bring,
yes,
water to it.
And there it was relatively easier to get the power and the water because it had reached Courage community. Here there was nothing, and Orodam was not at that point willing to give us little water to start, or power. Of course, power was also a little far away. So in a way it worked out good for us, so we could actually set an off-the-grid approach. You know? And
so now your power is solar?
Yes, all the power is solar and wind. We have the wind turbine also, which is working fine now. So between them, we are managing, and we are hoping to add a third layer, which is a generator,
mm-hmm,
with cooking oil from Solar Kitchen Visitor Center. And so used cooking oil, no? So
in a way, not having any of this help or collective thing, in a way, it made it more... maybe it'll make your experience really... replicable, in the sense of you can start nowhere.
Yes, you could start anywhere.
Yeah.
And the good thing is you are in control of your energy situation, especially in terms of the quality. You know, like quality of power is a major issue everywhere. Even if we can make sure that you get electricity, what is the quality of that electricity? You get poor frequencies and poor voltages.
Surges.
And sometimes surges. And these things really destroy all your equipment in the house. So there is no way actually we can prevent that if you're connected to the grid. And unfortunately in India there's no awareness about quality, as in very little awareness.
Mm.
And everybody's really concerned about just getting the power, you know.
Yeah.
So in from that context, I feel this way, at least in terms of the functionality, just talking, not to talk of ecology or anything,
yeah,
just to talk of the functionality, at least we are in control of our power situation in terms of its quality and quantity.
Mm.
And then if there is an issue, we can always solve it ourselves, you know. It's,
mm,
we don't have to look up to any authorities or even wait for applications to be processed and stuff. So we do it ourselves, whatever.
Mm.
And costing-wise, thankfully, things have become comparable, you know. So we have, the solar is very competitive now.
Yeah.
Only the batteries are a bit of a problem. So we are also trying to work around that to try and find alternatives and try and find... connected approach to reduce the amount of batteries and all that. So
recently in Oroville there's been a discussion on architects' fees and public buildings and all of that, and I've been personally sort of responding a lot to it because I feel like we need to show different models. There needs to be different ways, or even, you know, services provided, whether they're engineering services or what. Do you have anything to say about that? And would a project like this be an answer to some of those issues?
Well, Sacred Grove is located at, as of now, I see as the fringes, at the fringes of thought processes in Oroville. And it is not yet there where it can become mainstream. So we are actually working on an approach to make it more credible, more acceptable, more livable, more, you know, more everything. So until it has reached that state, I wouldn't jump to claim that this is an alternative model. It's probably an experiment wherein we are trying to see how to work around the difficulties. And the difficulty of the economy is very nuanced, and it's very intimate to, you know, every person has their economic reality, and one cannot really impose a general rule on that unless the whole system has sort of has evolved into a sophistication where they can accept and accommodate or embrace every person's individual reality. And the system as such has to be sensitive, and I don't know how easy or difficult it can be for any system.
So to be sensitive to all of these approaches, because you have to be wide.
Yes, and some people with families spread out might have a genuine need to, you know, travel, reach out to them, who might need more funds than others who have families in the village. And so, you know, there is this diversity in need in the financial aspect. So how can we be more accommodating as a society?
Exactly.
And so any general rule, as long as exceptions are easy to make for people, you know, who need, that general rule is valid. But if the general rule is a general rule for the rule's purpose, I would wonder how it would work in the long term, you know. Yeah. And
maybe that's a little bit also what we're seeing. We're just seeing in some way, perhaps people have an idea of unity or like that by creating an equal level for everybody, but things aren't equal, people's needs aren't equal, and so it ends up never being a
balanced playing field.
Or responding to the actual truth of the situation.
And also I feel the whole, if you look at the story of percentages, I feel there's a whole percentage culture that exists in Auroville on multiple levels, you know. So
33% of your profit.
All kinds of percentages. Mm-hmm. So unless we can question that economic mindset where we don't really, not just target one group of people, but look at the whole culture of, you know, percentages going this way and that, and to see whether there can be a natural flow established of the resources and needs and wealth and everything, you know, including other aspects of wealth, like Suhasini was pointing out, of people and, you know,
capacities
and channelizing everybody's best potentials for the growth of Auroville. And unless it's sort of de-bureaucratized and brought into the mainstream, you know, all those things. So I think it needs a lot of work and a lot more suppleness from the system to accommodate.
And a lot more trust in the good side of people, and not so much emphasis on creating rules based on poor behavior or, you know. Well, let's walk around. So here we are on the original site, and we're looking at water tanks, and we're looking at flexible. These are gasoline hoses. Gasoline hoses, which Manu uses as shuttering because they have the capacity of being flexible and molding to any size, and then they leave a sort of corrugated finish which one can plaster over.
Yeah.
And then also, he's invested in some sort of compressor type thing. What is that thing called?
It's an air compressor. It's a high pressure air compressor, which actually shoots concrete onto the walls of these tanks. You can see there's weld mesh just stuck onto the walls.
Yeah.
This mesh helps grip the shot concrete on the wall and reinforces it so that you have a waterproof layer, waterproof shell of concrete. And on top of this, we'll do two layers of lime plaster.
To clean the water.
To disinfect, to clean, and to make sure that water is, you know, safe to drink.
And your calculations on this method with the shotcrete, and this first structure is made with
earthcrete,
small 2% amount of cement mixed into the red earth. And you found that it significantly brought down the cost of water tanks, and that justified the expense of buying.
Yes, because we had planned to make 108 houses, and which meant that we were making about 500 water tanks like these, you know. So then it made sense to actually save on that 66%, you know, the cost of the water tanks, and invest that saving in other
this
things.
This is the first time in Oroville that I see anybody using the shotcrete method. System. We've used to pour concrete and then with a vibrator settle it down, but we never did this. What are the advantages? Because you can have a thin layer of it and it's spread at a high pressure.
High pressure, and all the normal pores. See, concrete is pretty much like a sponge, you know, so it's full of pores and cracks and gaps, you know. So this nature of concrete is okay for a regular building, but it's not okay for a water tank. So we need actually more dense packing of the aggregate and the cement and the sand. So to make it more dense, it's like ramming your walls, you know, but you can't ram it like horizontally and vertically so easily. You can ram it where the gravity is allowing it to ram. So what this thing does is that it can ram it on any surface, horizontal, vertical, upside down surface. You can ram it at the same pressure.
So do you think you could have find other uses than just water tanks with it? I mean, theoretically, couldn't you have some cheap plywood type of building and then shoot your shotcrete?
You can make caves. People use this to make underground tunnels. You can make all kinds of things. So it has, you know, we're open to people renting this, and doing what they want with it. So all you need is a steel framework to support the shotcrete. So whatever shape you want to do, you achieve, you make it in this kind of a mesh cage, and then you can shoot it from the inside and outside. And that's how people have made these earth-bermed houses.
Exactly.
Know? So to make a house vanish under a green mound of earth.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
How exciting.
These, you need this kind of application of concrete. You know?
When I was a kid, I was thinking that would be a lot the way our road arteries and all of that would be so that they were hardly visible.
Yes.
And that the animals could just be crossing and not be disturbed.
One could still do it. It's like it's open. The machine is here, and people who are competent to run it can actually use it to make things beautiful.
It's great. You've opened a whole new possibility.
Yes.
Great.
We think that we need to actually relook at our approach also from that point of view, to engage the community not just in discussions but in active work on the site. So, and that's where we said that we should create new processes on the site which are lighter and simpler and easier to understand, and invite people in slowly, small groups, and probably eventually big groups in building parties and stuff. But to start with, we have some newcomers here. They're waiting for me to go and get them engaged in the houses there in the first circle that you visited. So I think this is the beginning of a new process where we have more newcomers and Orovillians coming to help themselves make their own houses, and that's really the next step.
Maybe what you need is a little sign at the entry group office.
But we don't want too many people to be pushed in this direction by the need of, say, they need to finish a formality of being part of something. So, but I feel the people who are walking in right now have a genuine, they feel inside that they really need to, they want to make a house for themselves to live in, and we are trying to open them up to this idea that why not associate and make each other houses, you know, like you make your neighbor's house alongside your house, and so that process will bring people more or less together in that need as well as in the reality of having a house made, you know.
Okay.
So that's the next step, and that's where we need the community's attention, engagement, and help.
Great. Thank you, Manu.
You're welcome.